there will be any success in what we do, we must be intentional. Why do I say that? Because good intentions do not translate to success.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
You must be intentional. God always acts with intention. He's a God of purpose, and he's very deliberate about the things he does. If you read the scriptures, you will notice that God is very intentional. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus 14. In the book of Exodus chapter 14, the fourth verse. Now, this is in regards to the children of Israel. They were leaving the, They were leaving the Egypt, going to the promised land. And now they are at a place called Migdol, right? So they were boxed in between the sea and then some mountains. And Pharaoh is going after them. And notice what God does. He says, and once again, God is speaking. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. He's speaking to Moses. I have planned this. Did you hear that? He says, I have planned this. I am very intentional about this. I am very deliberate about that. I have planned this to gain great honor and glory over Pharaoh and all his enemies. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites come to where they were told. Now, what I want you to see out of this verse very clearly is that God was very deliberate in sending a message that he's Lord over Pharaoh and over all Egypt. But for him to do it, he chose a plan. That is intentionality. Are you guys with me today? This is why the believer should not be afraid. When you are in the midst of a problem, please do not always pray, Lord, take me out. Because sometimes God puts you there on purpose to gain glory. John chapter 9, look at the third verse. I'll read it from the New Living Translation. And this was about the man who was born blind. You remember that the disciples asked Jesus, why was this guy born blind? Was it because of his parents who had committed some sin? Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 9, the third verse. He says, it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Jesus answered, this happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. So now, what you need to understand is this. Later on, we learn that this man was 40 years old. What I want you to see is that God has orchestrated that somebody will be blind just so he will gain glory. Maybe the trouble you are in, God has intentionally orchestrated it to put you there. Even at the place of work, don't quit yet. Because you are there for something important. Jesus said the only reason this dude is blind, it is so that the Father will gain glory. It's interesting. So what I'm trying to get you to see is that God is so intentional about gaining glory that he does things that sometimes the rest of us will look at it and don't understand. Had all the people who were trying to crucify Jesus understand what was going on, they would never have what? Crucified him. But God was very intentional, and he's working it out. Amen? Just so he can gain glory. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 12. I'm trying to underscore the importance that you and I need to be intentional because we serve a God who is intentional. Are you in Philippians 1? Look at the 12th verse. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. Now, for you to fully understand what Paul is saying, you have to go back to the book of Acts chapter 16. You all remember that the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas were what? They were in jail. Right? What really happened? The Bible says the entire city of Philippi, we are reading from the book of Philippians, were energized and stirred up to come to faith in Christ Jesus, not because Paul preached, but because Paul was put in jail. Because when they were in jail and they began to sing, the Bible says an angel descended and then the prison doors was what? Was burst open. The jailer looks around, realizes that this thing is open. I need to kill myself. And Paul says, not too fast. We are all here. Paul was not praying to leave the prison jail because he understood that he walks with a God who is intentional. Are you following me, people? Sometimes we are crying over too many things. If God gets you there, he will get you out of it. He knows exactly, unless you get yourself there. And Paul writes here to the church in Philippi, the people, don't worry. All the things, my imprisonment, the thing that happened there, that I was put in jail and we began to sing, and the jailer, you all remember later on what happened to the jailer. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? And your household. And it kept stretching everywhere. God was indicating that at this time, your preaching was not going to do it, but you had to be in jail to bring people to Christ. God is so intentional. And he's intentional about you. About you. About you. Stop crying over your issues. It's a good place to clap and say, blessed be Jesus. Stop crying over it. Paul is saying, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what happened to me has served to advance the gospel. I was in jail. Everybody thought life was over. But God knows what he was doing. God knows what he was what? So to be intentional is to be purpose-driven. That's another definition I'm still defining. To be intentional is to be what? Purpose driven. God wanted to allow his word to reach the then world. So he put or he allowed Paul and Silas to be put in jail. God doesn't want us to drift along, letting circumstances determine the direction of our lives. Many, many believers, we live by default. Today, stop living a default life. In fact, an author puts it this way. Either you are leading your life or your life will lead you. Did you hear that? Either you are making things happen or you are just watching things happen to you. And today, I want you to ask yourself a very important question. Are you actively aware of the purpose of your actions whilst you are doing what you are doing? Why are you doing what you are doing? You must always become very intentional about it. Amen. I have seen couples who they fight and nobody wants to give. What is your real aim? Because if you want something proper, your intent must be, I'm going to make sure this thing works. And do whatever it takes to make it what? You don't assume that over time it will get better. Time never makes anything better. It is those who take their time to plan and chart a course and commit it to God, and God is going to pave the way. If the Lord blesses you with $2 million and you decide you're just going to blow it, you will blow it and be poor. You have to be intentional about how to invest the money, not in your stomach, but somewhere else. Amen. Tell the person sitting next to you, God wants us to be intentional about the path we choose in life. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. God wants us to be intentional. As a result, he wants you and I to make the right choices. There is a path that needs to be set. Proverbs chapter 4. Look at the 26th verse. And please notice that this verse comes right after he talks about the fact that you should guard your heart, for out of it flows all the issues of what? And then he begins to tell them there are some things you need to do. And one of them is simply this. Reading from the New Living Translation, it says, mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. The Good News Translation says, plan carefully what you do, and whatever you do will turn out right. God has a plan for you, but you must also make plans based on the plan of God. Don't sit there and accept everything that life offers you. That was what happened on the plane. I had to catch myself. No. Life is trying to offer me that today marks the end. I said, there will be people saying, oh, this man, he's powerful. Oh, he saw he was dying. No, I didn't see. I said, God, make sure this thing never comes to pass. Make me live. Life would throw many things at you. You would walk into a place of work, realize that somebody, for some reason, that you don't know, doesn't like you. You are tempted to quit. Don't quit yet, because some way, somehow, God has placed you there for a reason. He's very intentional. As for God, he doesn't play. He's doing stuff and you think, what is happening? Satan thinks he's got you until God shows another way. And they say, yay, I wish you come predict him. I pray that you'll be intentional as well. I sense this in my spirit. Some of us, our relationships are being destroyed. You have to be intentional about it. Do some work on purpose. Stop praying, God, heal me, heal me, heal me. Quit eating burgers that you're not supposed to eat. I am not advocating for you to be a vegan, but I am simply saying pay attention to what you're eating. Be intentional about what you, because if you eat everything, I didn't say anything. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're just laying the groundwork here. Now, I could look at the subject of intentionality from a metaphysical standpoint or from a motivational speaking standpoint, but I'm a preacher. We're looking at it from the scriptural standpoint. Because God is intentional, he expects us to be intentional. And we're not going to do it the way of the world. We're going to do it God's what? Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading the 15 to the 17th verse from the Phillips translation. Listen, live life. Everybody say live life. Then with a due sense of responsibility. In other words, don't live life anyhow. Be intentional about it. Live life with a due sense of responsibility. Not as those who do not know the meaning and the purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time. It is not every place you go. Those who are intentional, they are able to bring clarity to your life. I will show you later. You must become the gatekeeper to your head. Don't let every junk sink in. Some of the things, when you start hearing it, you turn it off. Don't assume that after listening to you, you'll be able to throw it somewhere. I already taught you this. The propensity to be sinful is in you. You have to nurture the nature of righteousness. Else, the nature of sin in you will rise up. That is what Paul meant. That the things that I want to do, I am not able to do. But those things that I don't want to do are the things I do what? Keep doing. And he shows us the route. He said, but thanks be to God. You just don't say thanks be to God and that's it. You have to work at it. Be intentional. Everybody say be intentional. All right, verse 17. Don't be vague. Do I need to explain vague? In other words, don't just allow things to slide. Be intentional. Don't be vague. But firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. So for the person who is in a motivational setting, being intentional is just cooking up something you believe in and moving with it. But for the believer, our plans are based on the plans that God has for us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Write this down. If there will be any success in what we do, we must be intentional. Why do I say that? Because good intentions do not translate to success. The fact that you want to be successful does not make you success automatic. Success is not automatic. If it was, having money is not automatic. That you are sitting in your house and money is coming to you. Sometimes you hear some Christians say, money, come to me. Foolishness in the highest order. If you don't know how to manage money and work for it, money ain't coming to you. Even if they did, it will bypass you because you don't know how to save it. Good intentions, did you write that down? Good intentions do not translate to success. However, good intentions must be converted to good actions for success to take place. If you have good intentions about certain things for your life, you must begin to work on them. In simple terms, this is what I want to say. Intentionality means I will not accept the things life throws at me. I am going to make a decision to walk in what God has destined for me. Are you hearing me? There are many believers who have given up on God, and sometimes we point a finger at pastors and churches and all that. And sometimes, yeah, you might be right to a point. But the truth is, none of us is responsible for your life. You are responsible for you. And if you have victory in one area, you must start asking the most important questions. Why am I failing here? You must be intentional in every area of your life. So this week, Grow Group, I didn't ask many questions. I wanted to go sit there and find out why certain parts of your life ain't working. Because sometimes we fail to ask the most important what? Questions. Let's look at some examples of people who were intentional. Number one is a guy called Jabez. You all remember Jabez? The Bible says Jabez was a dude who, in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, it says, when he was born, the guy was at a disadvantage. I met a young man who was a junior. You all understand junior? He and the dad had the same name. And the dad kept using the young man's social security number to borrow stuff. And by the time the guy was 18, he was already in debt. Because daddy has screwed it up. And sometimes some of us, by the time you begin life, you already had a debt to your name. But it can change. I said, it can what? It can change. You have to be intentional. Some of you are praying, Father, we pray away death. Stop the prayer and be intentional. I said, stop there and be. All right. First Chronicles chapter 4, we are looking at Jabez. Verse 9 says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. Now, the first part of the verse is stating his current situation. The last part is stating his previous situation. I want you to understand that. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted his request. This dude was thrown a lot of lemons at bed, but he decided it's got to be a lemonade now. I ain't going to sit there and allow this thing to define me. I know what I'm teaching you is not new, but I'm here to impress on you that don't just be intentionally one area. You must be intentional about everywhere. Like my mentors who were so intentional about how to live by the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in purity. Meanwhile, the same Holy Spirit could have helped them make money, but they did not harness that. We must be intentional. Jabez says, no, this is not going to be my portion. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, 29, the scripture says, David comes to the war front and Goliath is there taunting everybody and telling them, give me a man. Are you not a servant of Saul? Bring me somebody. And he says, this time, this war is one-to-one combat. Didn't Israel choose Saul? But at this point, Saul had chickened out until the little boy David shows up on the scene and he's asking, who is that dude standing over there? How is it that all of you soldiers have allowed him to defy the armies of God? And his big brothers just got hold of him and said, keep your mouth shut, you little boy. You brought us food to eat. Just go back. And David makes one of the most profound statements in 1 Samuel 17, 29. He says, and is there not a cause? You read other newer versions, he's saying that, am I not just asking the questions? Those who are intentional, they are intentional because they ask very necessary questions. How come that this woman loved me so much, but now they don't? What happened in between? How come that these words meant so much to me, but now they don't? You must learn to ask the necessary. And David says, is there not a cause? People, how in the world are you going to just stand there and allow this uncircumcised Philistine to just mess around? Please notice what I'm trying to paint to you. That the difference between those who are intentional and those who are not is that those who are intentional think intentionally. So to live intentionally, write that down. You must think intentionally. Always learn to think intentionally. Yesterday, I was trying to write a lesson for our college students. And my wife said, oh, honey, you haven't finished. And I said, no, because I have to think through and think like a college student. Because I can write the same topic for different groups of people. So I had to be intentional about the lesson going to them. To fit them. Or I can simply just take anything at all and throw it at them. And it will not help them. We must be intentional. All of you look up. If your wife is sitting next to you or your husband is next to you, can you look at them? If they are not here, look in your Bible. And say to them, going forward, we got to be intentional about us. Going forward, we have to be what? And I know by now, most of the ladies are asking about what? I said us. Us. Some of us are very intentional about the buildings we are building, but not the ones we live with. We are very intentional about taking care of other extended family, but the one. Today, I am here. Be intentional. I want a wife who will love me. Love her. That's right. So that she can also love you. One of the most important principles in the scripture is that women can take in. We are supposed to. Are you understanding me? You didn't get it? Okay. Everything about the man is about giving. And most men these days, I don't know. But if you look at the woman, they are supposed to receive. You are saying, Pastor, I'm not blinded, I can see. Once I was blind, but now I can see. And in this area, we must come to that place that we give and give and be intentional about it. In fact, let me confess this to you. There was a season and a time, everything Diana did, it just infuriated me. And I'll call my mentor and say, Pastor, this woman, one day, I might go to jail. I'll kill her. If you ask Pastor Imprim, he will tell you. And he will listen to me and says, Kofi, just calm down. Our I will interpret my tongues to you. And he said to me, what is your definition of love? And I said, she do me, I do you. What's your point? And he said, son, love by definition is unconditional. Because choosing to love somebody, they didn't ask you to. So love by definition is what? So there shouldn't be anything like, because she loves and then I love. If you are loving, you are loving. In spite of what she does, you love. So I began the journey to love. It wasn't simple. But the more I loved, the more I realized she was giving back. Why? Because the principle in Genesis works. When you give a woman a sperm, she gives you a big baby. Correct? Mm-hmm. So whatever you give to her, press down, shaking together, and running over, what she give to you? You give her hatred, she will give you twice as much. And because I wanted love, I began to give her love. So now she has no option but to good measure, press down, shaken together, and running over. What she give to me? Because I give it to you. I became very intentional. In fact, I went on a journey. It's called the Love Dare. For 40 days, I chose only to speak words to her that express my love. She would tell you, I'm very bad at words. I'm only good at just showing it. But words, it doesn't work. It's like she always tells me, you don't even know surprise. I said, I do. I just don't have the patience waiting. And my conscience clicks me, why am I lying? What if I die now and I don't make it to heaven? This is not my way. I was raised, you tell the truth, period. But then I began to understand, I have to be intentional about this. Last Sunday you heard her say, I've scored for 5 years. I'm about to add 5 more years. You have to be what? Intentional. A lot of planning. Now let's leave that alone. But I want you to come to that place as couples and begin to understand. I have to be intentional about my love for my spouse. I'm talking to the brothers. Unconditional. Love by nature is unconditional. Always give your love to her. They may not reciprocate at some point, but there comes a season. Give it back. There comes a season. I call it the season of fusion. You know, the press down, the shaking together, the running over. It's all like, boom, it's just running. Multiplication is running after you. Amen. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? But you're waiting. She did this. So I'm going to do it. You are not being intentional. You are allowing life and marriage to drift. Never live like that.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.